BadgerCast number 22.
Straight from southeastern Wisconsin, bringing you your slice of Badgerland. Welcome to BadgerCast. And now your host, Julie and Dale.
Hey, a freak show.
All right, which one of us is going to talk first?
I don't know, but I was listening to a podcast the other day, and I'm thinking that I'm supposed to say hi, Jen, and you're supposed to say
hi, Dave.
But I could have been hearing things wrong, you know, because I think somebody kind of took an excerpt from our show that I really goofed up on something and has gone with it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to BadgerCast, your slice of Wisconsin life. I'm Dale.
And I'm Julie.
And this is episode number 22, and it's going to be kind of the quick episode.
Yeah, because I have to go to work again.
All right. And it's been a month.
But 2 more days. 2 more days of work, and I'm on vacation.
I have 3. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And then?
No kids.
No kids?
Grandma's coming early, maybe. Yeah.
And then we're flying to Atlanta.
Yeah. And we're going to meet a couple people.
Tim and Nanette from For Whatever Reason.
Yeah. And we get to meet Charlie finally. Charlie White. CEWTWO on Twitter.
And then we go to the bear crawling extravaganza on Saturday.
The 8th. And you know what I was reminded of yesterday on the way home? Or I should say this morning on the way home from work.
Okay, what was that?
It's a full moon as of Thursday.
Ooh, you never know what happens on a full moon.
No, and that full moon cycle effect is like a few days before and a few days after.
Ooh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Well, that should make for an interesting trip.
It's going to make for an interesting couple days at work, too.
Well, that was our first agenda item.
What? You didn't share the agenda with me.
I don't know. I didn't build one.
Oh, okay.
So, the first agenda item was the trip.
Right. And I will apologize now if you hear the background noise, because we're podcasting from the kitchen with the windows and the breeze open, and I can hear the dogs.
It's a gorgeous day out, and I was too lazy to go get them from their outside.
Okay.
Confinement.
And they need a little space.
Yes.
Okay, so onward. What was the point you brought up? First point was our trip.
Our trip, yeah.
Yes.
Second point, what have you been up to?
Oh, what have I been up to? We've been up to a lot. We've been going to the lake, Ottawa Lake, which is 5 minutes down the road from us. It's part of the state park system here in Wisconsin. They have I don't think it's a man-made beach. But
yeah, it is.
It is?
Yeah, it's a spring fishing lake, so.
Well, I knew it was a spring-fed lake, but they have a beach area, which they expanded this year. That part I can say is man-made. And we've been out there swimming and doing all kinds of things out there. They have a play area, and I even think they had a volleyball set up the last time, but we didn't get to play. But the kids and I have been swimming and doing stuff out there. I've been biking, and I totaled up my bike miles. Hold on 1 second. I got to reach for the piece of paper here.
Drum roll, please.
As of July 31st, I biked the 31st too, didn't I? Oh, I got to add a couple in here. Hold on, that was another 13. I have biked a total of 259 miles of the month of July.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, that's almost one way to Minneapolis.
Is it?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we started off August, right? August 1st, I didn't do anything but work, but today I got in a 13.8-mile bike ride, and I'm going to keep better track of the miles. I'm only guesstimating what I've done since the beginning of the year between walking and biking, but I bet I'm close to the 600-700 mark. I should have kept better track.
I'm so lame, aren't I?
Oh, that brings up a story. Somebody said that they'd like to go for a bike ride with me. Who was that again?
That would be me.
And you said you could keep up?
I said I would try to keep up.
I heard you definitely say.
I said the gauntlet was laid, right?
Yeah. And how far behind in the dust were you?
About a mile. Yeah.
How far total did you go?
You know, I didn't track it because
I can tell you, if you tell me where you stopped, I can tell you how far you went.
I went through the new subdivision, but I didn't go through each road. I just went around and came around.
But you went with me down my normal path out and up South Street, right?
Yep, through town, through the industrial park, into the new subdivision, and home.
So you probably did around 5-6 miles, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, all right, let's put it this way. It was pretty respectable for the first time that I've really biked
I was going to say, you biked in June.
Since June. Mm-hmm. Since the Miller ride.
And that was only 5 miles for you.
Right. Mm-hmm. So.
And what was the comment the following day, people? I heard these comments for like 12 hours, and now I'm not hearing them because I don't think he wants to tell you.
I said, I got my ass kicked.
Yeah.
And I have to go into training to catch up with my wife.
It's a good feeling.
Okay, what else did we do? We went to the zoo yesterday.
Yes, we did.
As part of the my work's annual picnic. Mm-hmm. So we all got to wear the... here's something you never see. Everybody wearing the same blaze orange tie-dye t-shirt.
Yeah, but...
It was conspicuous.
But it wasn't, I mean, it was tie-dye, but it was just orange and white. It was more like a swirl of white on an orange t-shirt.
Yeah.
Not terrible, but it was also their 50th anniversary.
Yes, it was their 50th anniversary. So it was a big deal.
I venture to say that the only other time you're going to see a sea of blaze orange
is if you had
if
the
you're
same
at a hunting, no, if you're at one of the hunting stations in the DNR when you're checking in your deer.
Your deer, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's...
And it was a good day yesterday because it started off as rain and it ended up to be a gorgeous day.
Yep. And we ate. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got your hair done.
I did.
And then you met us at the zoo.
Yes, I did.
And then we ate lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And then we walked around the zoo a bit.
Right. And lunch, they had pretty decent
stuff. Burgers.
I mean, burgers and brats and dogs, but they had pasta salad and
potato salad.
Salad and fresh fruit. I was surprised at the fresh fruit. Ice cream sandwiches and fudgicles for dessert.
Yeah, they like that. And of course,
beer.
Mm-hmm. And soda. But I mean, beer.
Yeah.
Now, we didn't.
And you can walk around the zoo with the beer.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Of course. It is Wisconsin, you know. It is Milwaukee.
It's true. It is true.
You could practically walk on the streets in Milwaukee with the beer. No, you can't.
You can't do that. But, at the zoo, you can.
But in Eagle, you can, actually.
I know what else I did this week. It wasn't on my favorite chore list. I had to take the car in.
Yeah?
Yeah. Anti-lock brake sensor light's been going on and then going off and then going on and then going off.
So if you are the anti-lock brake expert
for a
GM car.
I am not the
expert. I would love to hear
I'd like to know what the problem is because when we took it in,
the computer says nothing, right?
Well, no. Backtrack. I had taken it in a couple times just on the spur of the moment. He wanted to see what the code was saying when he hooked it up to the little computer diagnostic thing. And it would say that, yes, it was tripped, but there had been too much time from the time the code had gone off till he did it. So he couldn't say anything except that, yes, it was tripped. So when I took it in Thursday, he went through the thing. Yes, it had tripped the sensor, couldn't find anything. He went online to check any of the bulletins out there, and he found a bulletin, which I don't understand why these bulletins aren't sent to the owners to say, you may have this problem and need to get it checked out.
Let's put it this way.
But anyway.
Anything that costs GM money right now.
Yeah, well, anyway. There was a quote, how did he put it? A work alert or a work bulletin, I think he called it, that said if a customer brought in their car, their GM vehicle, with this anti-lock brake light going off, the first thing they should do is check the sensor grounding thing, because there was some issue with that not always being grounded correctly. So he went there, fixed the ground, everything's doing fine, fixed the rest of the car. I mean, had my oil changed and all that normal stuff. And the other thing I was hearing along with the brake light sensor going off was I kept hearing this flump, flump, flump kind of sound, kind of like a flap, but I know I didn't have a flap. And it was the...
Flump, flump, flump.
Oh, shut up. I'm not good at describing sounds. Anyway, there was a sound in the wheel, okay? And it turned out it was the bearings on the left front wheel. Again. We had it fixed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's a quick and easy fix. We fixed all that, and we get the car back. We're doing fine. The brake light's not going off. Took the car out Friday. I'm halfway through with my errands, halfway across the city, and the light goes on again. And I'm like, so I called him up. I didn't even turn off the car. I'm like, are you there? Can I come in now while the light's still on? Because if I turn the car off, it gets rid of the code. So we drove, I don't know, 20 miles out of our way to go have them look at it, and it's coming up with the same sensor code error or whatever it was reading the first time, but we know it's not that. So we know that there's probably a problem with the anti-lock brake. We're not sure what it is yet. I have brakes. It was explained to me. Sorry about the pop filter here. It was explained to me. And if anybody's out there, Manager John, anybody else, I'd love to know this answer. He's telling me that when that light goes off, I lose my anti-lock brakes. But the fail-safe, because I've never had a problem braking when that light is on, is that I still have brakes, but they revert back to the old disc brakes that at least I grew up with. I mean, because I grew up learning to drive a car without anti-lock brakes. Those are still there. Those are still good. So he's saying, yes, I have brakes. It's just that I don't have the anti-lock brakes. And I don't know enough to know what have you about any of that. I know when you put it into the scheme of things of what I need to get fixed on that car versus what I need to get fixed on your truck wins out right now. It's going to go in first for its service. So if anybody can explain to me this anti-lock brake sensor crap, I'd love to hear it because I'm really lost. This is like the third time that I've had a problem with it, where they've gone and fixed the sensor. They say it's fine. There was a recall when we first got the Suburban, and it was a issue with GM, still under warranty. They replaced it. Hadn't had a problem since they fixed it till now. So is this like an overwhelming theme with the 2001 GM models that they have problems with anti-lock brakes? I don't know.
GM just has problems.
We know that. I try to avoid it because, you know what? I'm not in the market for a new car.
You know,
because we made this point before. Our vehicles were paid off as of last fall. I do not plan in any way, shape, or form of thinking of a new vehicle for another 5 years. These vehicles have been taken care of from day one that we got them. Well, right within the limits of the what's the name of that book?
The manual.
The manual. Thank you. And they are going to last us. And I know that they can last us as long as we want them to, as long as we take care of them, which we've done.
So we will not be participating in the Bankrupt Cash for Clunkers program.
Oh my God! When I've heard about that, I laughed my ass off. Because I don't understand how that's a help to anybody but GM, and it puts everybody else further behind, in my opinion.
Well, I think it's the whole shell game of we want to stimulate the economy by not really putting any money into things.
Yeah, but then what do they sit around and turn around and do with the cars that are being traded in? What I heard, because
they probably auction them off, right?
No, oh, no, 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 no. We were talking about this at Library Coffee Hour last week, around Friday.
Okay.
Hey, we talk about many things.
All right, go ahead.
Not just gossip in town. Anyway, what they're doing from what, because one of the ladies in the coffee group, and there are men in the coffee group too, just because I know that comment's coming. Her husband is very much into wanting. Oh, shush up. Her husband really wants to partake of this. They have a college-age student who needs a new vehicle, and he's done a lot of work into it. They are not even scrapping the cars and taking what they can off of them and reusing them and doing that. What they're doing is they automatically go to the junkyard. Something gets injected into the engine to make it non-usable, whatever, and they are crushed and scrunched down to, I don't know how small the compacted size of metal is when you scrunch them down, but they are not doing anything to recycle, reuse any of the available parts off of these cars. So again, I go back to, if you're doing this to try and help overall the economy and this, that, and the other thing, it makes sense to reuse what you can off of these vehicles before scrapping them. But that's not what we're hearing they're doing.
I think they also want to make greener cars. So in other words, our cars wouldn't qualify because we don't get
enough.
Who
the hell cares? If you have the ability to take a vehicle who is no longer in use and has parts that people can use to, for whatever reason, to get them through stuff, it makes more sense to reuse that into to take what you can from that vehicle before scrapping what you can't use. To sit there and purposely sabotage a vehicle that if anybody found later in a junkyard, if it escaped being crushed into a metal square, that they can't use it because they did something to it. That makes no sense.
Yeah, I haven't read that or heard about that, sabotaging the engine so it can't run. I would assume that they try to scrap or save other parts, non-engine parts.
Nope, because that's one of the
they just
points.
They just want
to get the vehicles out, and that's one of the points that this person in trying to figure out whether they want to do this to get to trade in a car that their son has now for a newer vehicle. He's like, he has a big problem with that they're not doing it because he's a very green person to begin with. So he's having trouble. It's like, the more I hear about it, the more I'm like, I don't think this is helping anybody. Plus the fact that the biggest thing is they're broke. After what, less than 2 weeks or 2 days or something?
No, I think
like
it's been a couple of months.
I wasn't getting that impression from...
Well, I think it's the program's been out there for a couple of months, and a couple of things I did hear was that they're broke, and then they also changed the requirements midstream.
So yeah, now we could get a new vehicle just by getting, what, 4 more gallons?
4 more miles to the gallon.
Buying a new SUV.
But could we get an SUV that's good enough for us?
No, because we've been through this before, I think, on a previous podcast. We ended up with the SUV we have because of what we've chosen to do in our spare time in our life, which is camp. And to pull a decent size trailer, you need some oomph. Yeah. And the only way to do that, and we're talking just a pop-up here. I'm not even talking a hard-sided trailer. But just the larger size pop-up, you need either a Suburban, a full-size conversion van, or a full-size crew cab pickup. None of these medium...
to carry kids.
To carry kids'
blah, blah, blah.
Stuff and to be able to tow what you have packed back there. Even if we switched to a smaller or mid-size SUV, we could probably pull one of these smaller pop-up campers. But
not the one we own.
Not the one we own. And the smaller pop-up camper wouldn't suit our needs. And we've talked about upgrading to a hard-sided, like 20, 25-foot trailer so that we can go out west and other places. In that case, I need to upgrade the vehicle we have now. I only have the 1500 series to pull ours. I would need the 2500 series minimum, if not the 3500 series, if I wanted to be able to pull it uphill, big, steep hills.
Or
and
a Peterbilt.
Stuff. No, sorry. I won't be driving a Peterbilt truck. Sorry.
No double clutching for you, huh, babe?
No. So, I mean, when you're looking at the needs people have for stuff, there's nothing out there that's going to give me better gas mileage. I mean, as it is now, I get pretty decent gas mileage considering the vehicle with given the gas I have to buy.
Yes. Okay. Off the subject of the
vehicles?
The vehicles.
And the economy?
And the economy. It's been a while since we podcasted last. And
how long has it been? It's only been a month, huh?
Yeah, but we did a lot earlier in the month. We went to the circus parade.
Yes, we did. We had a visit from Barely and his adorable Dorquette daughter.
And we went to the circus parade, which will probably not be around again for a while.
Weren't they talking every other year or every 3 years, something like
well,
that?
Well, assuming they get funding.
It's true.
Yeah.
And that's because we hadn't seen the parade in a couple of years. Six years because of funding.
Yeah. So, and this may be, you know, depending on funding and if they can make it a every other year event or every 5 year event. We probably saw Ernest Borgnine for the last time.
I was very surprised he made it to the parade.
Yeah.
Because he's what?
92. A spry 92, but still.
He did not look like your typical 90-year-old person.
No, he looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a good time.
We had an awesome time.
Stood near the corner of Kilburn and Water Street.
For the people that know the area, that was pretty much right in front of the PAC.
Or Market Center for the Performing Arts, which they call it now. Which is
whatever.
Where, yeah, which is where we started off our Miller ride.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. So we all got liquid sodas and stuff and subs and waited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we weren't crazy like some of the people that waited 3 days to see the parade, but, you know, we got there a couple hours early. And
yeah, I don't think I could wait for anything that long.
And saw a lot of good pictures. I know Barely from the Barely podcast put a bunch of stuff up on his Flickr page.
He did, and there were some pretty cool pictures. I'm waiting for the picture he says he took of me or me and the kids.
Oh, okay. I didn't do anything. I didn't put anything up. But at some point we will. Should we?
We have to pause a second. Okay.
And we're back.
That was the minor interruption from child number three.
So,
we got something in the mail.
Yes, we did.
Yes. Now, where is my little card? Hold on. I'm reaching.
And who was this from? It was international post from?
From Manager John and his lovely wife.
In Canada.
Well, they really weren't in Canada when they sent this.
Okay, well, there you go.
We have a postcard from Hong Kong. And does it tell me what this is? Yeah, it says the Hong Kong Peak Tram is the picture. And there's a red tram. Looks like it's above the city looking out and over. And it says, Dale and Julie, picked up a couple things for you in Hong Kong and Whistler. Ferret Farts Soap is from a little... hold on a second. Little handmade good shop by Whistler that sits on the site of the filming of Scooby-Doo. The Jade Dragon is from a little vendor on the streets of Hong Kong, and something cockroach fell on me from a building right afterwards.
Ew.
Oh, four cockroach, it looks like. Talk to you guys soon, Manager John. Well, thank you, Manager John. It was awesome to get a package from you.
Yes.
And I really like the Jade Dragon.
That is awesome. I think that may be the show art if I can get a decent picture of it.
Yeah, I will try to, too. It's, I don't know, it's about 4 or 5 inches long, maybe about 3 inches high. And it's cute.
Yeah.
I like it. And then the hit with the kids was... I'm not exactly sure what to call them. They're candy of some sort because it's all written in...
Chinese or... I think probably Chinese.
I think there's a couple different hieroglyphic things here, but they look like chocolate-covered...
strawberry?
No. Jelly beans? Strawberry-flavored, but chocolate-covered strawberry... jelly beans, yeah. That's what they look like. I had one. They're not bad, but Josh tended to like them, so I let him have the rest of them. There's a couple left here. And then I have not tried the soap.
But it's as close to Badger as he probably could find in China.
Yeah, well, what I find funny is he said he bought it in Hong Kong, right?
Yeah.
And the front of it says, "Bet you didn't think they smelled this good. Authentic Canadian wilderness ferret fart soap."
He might have gotten this one in Canada.
I don't think so. Well, he'll have to clarify for that because... I distinctly remember a reading here that he said from Whistler, but I don't know if Whistler was in Canada or if Whistler was where Whistler is, because it doesn't say. So we need clarification, Manager John.
All right. Well, that was awesome. And I think it's time that we take a break.
Okay.
And with a song from the PodSafe Music Network, or Music Alley as they're now called, at music.mevio.com. And this is a song from the great Luke Ski. More of a comic song, but you'll like it. We're going...
Are you sure?
We're going to the Dells. On the BadgerCast.
Are you sure it's at the Dells?
Oh, yeah, that time of year again. Oh, the Wisconsin Dells!
I can't even begin to describe all of the awesomeness contained within.
It's the water park capital of the nation!
It'll flat out rock you like a sandstone formation.
I'll ride the carts at Riverview Park,
then cruise down Highway 12 and hit Noah's Ark.
I'm the big kahuna, take the plunge, and then I'll say,
let's do the time warp again.
It's the tourist trap of the sesquicentury,
and I'll sentimentally tell you what it's meant to me.
Old Fort Dells. We were grade school centuries. Me and sis, mom and dad, decades of memories.
Clowning around at Circus World and Baraboo.
No matter where you go, they always take care of you.
So I'm bringing all my friends to show them what they got before they cold disappear like the Wonder Spots.
We're going to the Dells,
Wisconsin Dells,
St. Paul to Chicago, everybody else.
From the upper to the lower to the downtown strip.
Each and every year is our favorite trip.
We're going to the Dells, gonna have some fun. 200 water slides in the Midwest sun.
The Wisconsin Dells.
Heaven off of 1994 on exit 87.
Spend a weekend there and you'll never be sorry.
You can play the arcades, dropping quarters in Atari.
At Big Sky Drive and your ceiling is starry.
Pirate's Cove mini golf where the staff is all Ari.
Used to visit reptiles at Serpent Safari.
Now I'm a flow rider at the Kalahari.
I'm a master blaster, jet slide disaster.
You know I'm never slower, I always scream
master.
Ladies and gentlemen of every age, go to the Tommy Bartlett Ski Sky and Stage Show.
Water skiing stunts, they all know their roles.
Singing songs like the Bailey's Landing Troll.
I don't drive a Prius or SUV truck. I bought an original Wisconsin Duck.
Go wherever I want, over land and stream. And my all-terrain,
I'll reign supreme.
We're going to the Dells,
Wisconsin Dells.
From St. Paul to Chicago, everybody yells.
From the upper to the lower to the downtown strip.
Each and every year is our favorite trip.
We're going to the Dells,
gonna have some fun.
200 water slides in the Midwest sun.
The Wisconsin Dells.
Paradise is mine. Off of 1994 on exit 89.
You're a standing rock with the message I've told.
Before you leave for a vacation from your friendly abode,
be sure to heed the words of this cheesehead oath
when you're heading down that holiday road.
The Wisconsin
Dells. Wisconsin Dells.
Everybody has a place to be. Come on,
Wisconsin,
come on.
At the Moose Jaw, have some beer cheese soup.
Then Robot World, do some robo rabble rousing so I can see what it's like.
It's the year 2000!
The Gamblers, Ho-Chunk is where they go.
Where maybe they'll
win a bingo!
All the gift shops, hey, you know it's on. The finest Cherokee souvenirs made in Taiwan.
I'ma eat more cheese than a glockenspiel mouse.
And at the House on the Rock, I'm gonna rock the house.
Crash at the Carousel Inn where the pool is so gnarly.
We'll go to Candy Mountain, Charlie!
My girl went to Extreme World, used the bungee grapple, so we'll get hitched at the Dells Bells Wedding Chapel.
What?
Okay, babe, we're on our honeymoon,
singing karaoke at the Showboat Saloon.
We're going to the Dells,
Wisconsin Dells.
From St. Paul to Chicago, everybody else.
From the upper to the lower to the downtown strip.
Each and every year is our favorite trip.
We're going to the Dells.
We're gonna have some fun.
200 water slides in the Midwest sun.
The Wisconsin Dells.
You'll find Nirvana too.
Off of 1994 on exit 92.
We're going to the Dells,
the Wisconsin Dells.
From St. Paul to Chicago, everybody yells.
From the upper to the lower to the downtown strip.
Each and every year is our favorite trip.
We're going to the Dells.
Gonna have some fun.
200 water slides in the Midwest sun.
The Wisconsin Dells.
Living life like a subway and chilling on a boat
in the new Lake Delden.
We're going to the Dells.
The Wisconsin Dells.
We're going to the
Dells.
Did
we miss the breakfast buffet at Paul Bunyan's Cook Shanty? All right, well, then we can hit the pizza pub.
We're going to the Dells.
Oh, wait, here comes the dog park, my favorite park. It goes like this.
We're going to the Dells. We're going to the Dells.
That was very cute.
And we're back.
That was great. Because I know most of those places.
Yeah. And that was great Luke Ski from The Fump at thefump.com and PodSafe Music Network with We're Going to the Dells.
So is this a lead into something?
That is the Cheesehead Spotlight for the week, the Wisconsin Dells. And I can tell you a little bit of the Wisconsin Dells from Wikipedia.
Probably more from experience.
But we'll talk about that in a second. Wisconsin Dells is a city in south central Wisconsin with a population of 2,418 as of the 2000 census. But it balloons into much bigger in the summertime.
I was going to say, in the summertime, how about like quadruple that?
Yeah. The city takes its names from the dells of the Wisconsin River, a scenic glacially formed gorge that features striking sandstone formations along the banks of the Wisconsin River. Together with the nearby Lake Delton, the city forms an area known as the Dells, a popular Midwest tourist destination. The Dells area has an estimated 5 million annual visitors.
It gets busy.
Yes. With 18 indoor water parks and 3 outdoor water parks, the Dells area covering 70 acres of the Wisconsin Dells proclaims itself as the water park capital of the world. And it's the home of the largest outdoor water park in the U.S., Noah's Ark.
Yes, and they have some awesome fudge shops and all the touristy little things that you'll find anywhere.
Yep. Some of the attractions in the Dells include the Dells Boat Tour.
Mm-hmm. Been on that.
Mini golf.
Been there.
Go-karts.
Haven't been on a go-kart.
Tommy Bartlett's Thrill Show.
Okay, you know, I've grown up with that. I have never, ever been to any Tommy Bartlett show. And I've been here, what, since 77 we moved back to Wisconsin?
Yeah. This is back. They're the first year back after that. Last year's major disaster.
Yeah, when Lake Delton kind of disappeared.
It drained. It drained out into the river and went away. What happened basically is that a road gave way.
And then the dam gave way.
Mm-hmm. And it took them a year to rebuild the road and the dam and to fill up the lake. So the Wisconsin Dells is now back at 100% and a great destination both in summer and in winter since they have so many indoor water parks.
Besides the indoor water parks and the getaway, if you're doing outdoor stuff, I mean, you're, 15-20 minutes from Devil's Lake State Park, where you can hike throughout the year, and I'm not positive, but there has to be cross-country skiing and stuff around the area, if not snowmobile trails within the area. I mean, the Dells is not just a summer vacation spot. If you're an outdoor-type person and do stuff all year round, you can find something to do there. There's also, like you said, the casino, which people are at year-round.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Whatever. Haven't been there either. Well, wait a minute. Take that back. Yes, I have been there. One day. No, and we camp, for most part, most of our camping trips are around that area or within 45 minutes
of the Dells.
So that if something happens and there's not to do or rain, whatever, we can drive in.
Yeah.
And not be terrible.
So.
Terribly left out, I should say.
If you have ever been to the Dells, and we've been to the Dells, I took the kids, I think we were camping once, and I took the kids to one of the mini golfs.
Mm-hmm.
We've never done the full Dells thing with the water parks.
No, that's
I'm thinking Tommy, Noah's Ark maybe later in the year. But
yeah, but part of that is at the younger age, when the kids were younger, one of our kids was afraid of the water slides because of the ill-behaved children of others who took one of those little water gun things and just pummeled him, and he didn't want to go back. And I don't blame him.
No. But it's a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Lots to do. Lots for kids to do.
Mm-hmm.
So check it out. And
bring a padded wallet with you.
Yes, because it's not cheap.
Oh, no.
But you can find out more about Wisconsin Dells at wisconsindells.com.
And then they have to stop at my favorite place.
What's that?
The fudge shop.
The Fudge Shop.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we're going to make a trip up Highway 12 to the Fudge Shop before the end of the year, I'm sure.
Probably.
All right. So that was the Cheesehead Spotlight.
That was a very nice one. With music to go along with
yes.
it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So. And do you have a random Wisconsin fact?
Well, I found a book that I've been referring to plan things with the kids, and it's called The Insider's Guide, Fun with Family, and it's the Wisconsin one. And there's hundreds of ideas for day trips with kids, and it's written by Martin Hintz and Stephen V. Hintz. And it's really cool. It's divided up into the different sections of the state. And the way they have the state divided up, they have, let's see here, 5 areas. They have the north and northwest, which is basically like Chippewa Falls up to Superior and Ashland. They have the north and northeast, which is, Wausau, Fond du Lac, Oshkosh, Manitowoc, Green Bay, and up towards Marinette there. They have the south and southwest, which is pretty much Janesville to La Crosse and up towards Chippewa Falls. The central area is pretty much the Madison, Baraboo, Wisconsin Dells, Stevens Point area. And then they have the southeast area, which is pretty much the Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha area. And each area has little facts and things about it. So... let me see here. Let's just open it up. First one I open up to is Eagle River in the north and northeast section. And like one of the little facts that's just kind of put in there is like it says Wisconsin trees. Wisconsin is heavily forest with dense tree growth covering about half the state, mostly in the north. Softwood tree species include white cedar, pine, spruce, fir, and hemlock. Ash, aspen, elm, maple, basswood, ironwood, and oak are among the hardwoods. And just those are kind of interspersed throughout the book. But then when you're looking at, like, Eagle River, it gives you a little bit about it. And it says, Eagle River is the heart of Wisconsin's North Woods, vacation country, strong emphasis on outdoor adventures, and loads of fun with a family twist. Regardless of the season, there's always plenty to keep everyone occupied, whether summertime fishing and loafing dockside or wintertime snowmobiling and cross-country skiing. And if I remember right, they have a big snowmobile race up there year-round, and it's near where the Birkebeiner goes through, because that's...
Well, the snowmobile race is in Eagle River, and the Birkebeiner, I think, is in Hurley?
In Hurley.
Yeah. And,
but they're fairly close, considering the state. But so... A couple of the things they have is they have the world, they go into a bit about the World Championship Snowmobile Derby. It has ages 10 and up, gives you dates and times to contact stuff, gives you a little blurb about it. There's the Snowmobile Racing Hall of Fame, and they say that can be for kids 5 and up. It also says if it costs money or not. So like that, the Snowmobile Racing Hall of Fame is free, but donations are accepted. There's a place called the Northwoods Children Museum. Gives you the hours that, and it says it's open year-round. And then they give you little hints about traveling with kids and stuff that I think most parents know, but if you're a new parent and packing up toddlers or a little older and trying to figure out what to do, it gives you some nice hints. So like this one says, you know, to be prepared for better time in the woods, here are some hints for your trip. Stick a few board games and card decks into a special box. Just in case a few drops do fall in indoor or in tent, quiet time is required. It says also bring some of those novels you claim you never had time to read over the past year. No excuses now. plenty of candles and extra matches in a watertight container for late night late night ghost storytelling. It says pack with potential weather changes in mind. You know, a sunny beginning might end up in a cold rain. Weather can change quickly. And then anything forgotten during the home packing process, whether wiggling worms or snug sweatshirts, can always be purchased up north. And that's in quotes. And that's funny because there are T-shirts that have up north on them. And I believe an arrow goes with it. And then the other two things that they go into for that is that there's the annual Journeys Marathon and Half Marathon for ages 16 and up. And Let me see if that one's coming up here. No, it doesn't give me a date for that one, but there's a website. There's Decker Snow Venture Tours, ages 10 and up. They go into a little bit about night mobiling on the snowmobiles. And then they go through like a couple places to eat in the area. And it's funny, I'm looking at one. It's called the Chanticleer Inn, which is where my family used to go way back when. It's still open. I kind of find that funny. It's a cool place. And then they go into a couple of the other major towns or cities or whatever you want to call them. Sorry, Alzheimer's is kicking in, okay? It's kind of a cool book. I like it. And if you're in Wisconsin or vacationing to Wisconsin, it's something that you should check out at your library or pick up at a store for you.
So is that the What's Julie Reading and the Random Fact of the Week?
You could combine them, but I've been slowly making my way through that cookbook I talked about last time. It is so huge. It has so many things in it. I think I've gotten a third of the way through it. I'm going to have to probably bring it back and check it out again.
Okay.
That and, you know, the normal smut romance novel.
The
stuff.
Smut romance. See, you got to tell us about the smut romance, too.
Well, let's see. The last one,
oops,
which I just finished today, was by Tara Jansson. And that was... it was not Loose and Easy. That was the book before. It was Loose and Something Else. Anyway, it's a continuation of the series she's been writing about this group of individuals.
Ooh, that sounds kinky.
Oh, no. They started off as a bunch of Denver hoodlums. And somebody stepped in and took them away, and they ended up...
Oh, so plot with your porn, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's plot with porn. They ended up in different branches of the U.S. Armed Forces, disillusioned with that, and now they're pretty much mercenaries. And how they're still pretty much working for Uncle Sam and, you know, the girls there that they have to save and, you know, your requisite hot sex type time.
Boy meets girl, boy loses girl, boy has international intrigue, boy gets girl, boy...
pretty much. Mm-hmm. Fast paced.
Seduces girl, and there you go.
Not necessarily. Who says the boy has to seduce the girl?
Okay, well, you do have to go to work, so let's get going.
It's one of those summer beach read books, yeah. And right, you know there's another one coming, so I'll keep my eye out for it.
All right, well... that leads us to voicemail.
We have voicemail?
Yes.
Okay.
The gauntlet was laid last time.
By me? You? No, or somebody else?
Barely.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Dale and Julie, it's Barely. And, Dale, you just weren't listening right. I said KDKA. And also, there's an FCC regulation that says east and west of the Mississippi. And, KDKA was in existence before then, so that's why they're the only ones east of the Mississippi that
not
have
the only ones
start with a K. And you'll never find anyone in
oops,
west of
yes,
Mississippi
he did
with an FCC license that will start with a W. So, ha! Gauntlet thrown down and stomped to pieces.
Wrong.
I win. I'm not competitive at all. Not at all. Oh, Julie, you still awake now? I mean, last time saw you, you were asleep before I left. And now the message is almost gone. Done. So, are you awake or have you fallen asleep? You didn't think I was not going to bring that up?
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
just wait.
I'll catch you guys later.
I had a reason for falling asleep. I was up for over almost 30 hours.
Okay.
And I still had fun before I fell asleep.
It wasn't as funny seeing you sleeping on the couch as you sleeping in the chair at the circus event when we were
waiting. I was awake during the circus parade.
You were awake during the circus parade, but while you were waiting, you kind of dozed off in the folding camping chair. She had Why don't you explain?
I worked night shift the night before. So I had been up since, gosh, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock the morning before. Spent a full day with you guys, went to work, worked night shift, came home, went downtown, did all that stuff. I finally crashed at, what, 6, 7 o'clock in the evening? So that was, yeah, that was 30 hours.
It was a long time.
Mm-hmm. But back to the gauntlet that we get to, you get to crush.
The gauntlet was crushed, and now it's picked up, and... You're wrong, Barry. All right, let's put it this way. You are wrong. And I knew you were wrong anecdotally when I first got the voicemail, but I had to prove it to myself and to you. I was almost ready to say, you're right. This was never...
You?
No, I was almost. But then again, I remember going to Fond du Lac as a kid.
You don't back off easy.
And hearing these wonderful call letters, KFIZ, Wisconsin, believe it or not, has three radio stations with call letters beginning with K. KFIZ is the only commercial radio station in the state with the KFK call letter. The other two are in what's called a mixed market. They're in the Duluth Superior market.
Which would be... Right on the Mississippi, right?
No, because the Mississippi starts in central Minnesota. But the way I think they do that is if...
I didn't say the start of. I said along.
Yeah. What I think they do is if you're in Minnesota west of the Mississippi, it's K. If you're east of the Mississippi in Minnesota... It's W, and if you're north of the Mississippi, I think it's K, but I'm not exactly sure. Anyway, the other two stations are NPR stations where the transmitter is technically in Duluth, but the license is in Superior, so that's how they got away with that. But KFIZ is a news talk station out of Fond du Lac, commercial. It was started in 1922 by an automobile dealer looking for a way to help stir up interest in the newfangled things called radios he was selling to supplement his autos. So, and he decided to start a radio station, and it was the first commercial radio station in the state of Wisconsin. And an application to broadcast was approved, and KFIZ was born. Since there was no rigid restrictions about call letters at the time, and KFIZ became one of the few stations east of the Mississippi beginning with the letter K. So, since 1922, News Talk K1450 KFIZ has been serving the Fond du Lac area.
Take that.
There you go. And I will put KFIZ's website on the show notes, so you can, we can all see that Fond du Lac has a K radio station.
Yep.
So, anything else? As we're hitting about 55 minutes unedited.
I'm working on the next Motivated Women. I have basic outlines. I just need to get time.
There you go.
Yep.
And call, somebody call her comment line. For Motivated Women at...
I'm having it in front of me. Hold on. Let's see if I have it here. We're joined by Eldest Child, and what does Eldest Child want with us right now?
I think he just wants the chocolate-covered strawberries.
Is that it? No, he said no.
All right.
I have it.
There you go. What is it?
206-338-2599. So if you have suggestions of what you want to hear, I'd more than happily take them and listen to them. Right now, I think I'm running with Lorna's suggestion of how to deal with working through pain. And I found more than I thought I was going to find, so I'm still working through the
info. If you want to be a guest host, because you and Crystal have been having trouble getting together these days.
Yes, we have. Because we're both busy women.
Yes. Motivated busy women.
Very.
Give Julie a call at?
206-338-2599. Okay. I did that with from memory.
All right. And if you'd like to call us here at the BadgerCast, you can call at area
206-202-2008.
Correct. Or leave an email at thebadgercast@gmail.com.
And what?
And you can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Skype.
Uh-huh. I'm pretty much not on MySpace, though. So.
And, well, or on MySpace, except for Julie, who's not on MySpace.
Well, I'm there, but I don't think I've updated because I find it Twitter and Skype work for me.
Yeah. So, until next time, this is Dale.
And Julie.
And we'll leave you with another song from the PodSafe Music Network or Music Alley at music.mevo.com. And this is Sunspot from Wisconsin with Sweet Relief.
Have a nice afternoon. Bye.
Bye.
Nothing at all, thinking I can't save what no